This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Almost 6.5 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, and about half of them lived in the Soviet Union. And their lives and experiences are not well documented. Historian Anna Sternschiss took the topic on as an oral history project. And during her research, she came across an unexpected archive at the Ukrainian National Library in Kiev. Anna discovered a collection of more than 150 Yiddish songs that detail the Holocaust as it happened to Jews in the Soviet Union. These songs were originally recorded and collected by ethnomusicologists during the war, but they'd been confiscated and hidden by the Stalin regime. Anna joined forces with an acclaimed Russian musician to bring these songs back to life, and the two are currently traveling around the world to share their experiences in this work with the audience. They performed together in Chapel Hill yesterday, and they join me in the studio now for a special preview. Anna Sternschiss is a professor of history at the University of Toronto. Anna, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Also with us is Psoy Gorlenko. He is a Russian-based poet and musician. Psoy, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Anna, take us back now. Tell us what got you started on this project in the first place, looking at Jewish life in the Soviet Union.
Right. So I was interested how Jews lived in one of the most cruel totalitarian regimes of the 20th century. And I was interested in how they made their decisions, how they got married, how they chose their professions. And in search of materials, I ended up in Kiev, where by accident, a librarian told me, you know, we recently got a collection of Yiddish songs recorded during World War II. I said, really? Russian Jews sang in Yiddish during World War II? It can't be. She says, well, I don't know exactly, but take a look. And I took a look and I said, wow, I don't know any single one of those songs. So the fact that I didn't recognize any of those Yiddish songs, like praising Stalin, cursing Hitler, fighting against Germans, I didn't think that if I don't know, it means that it's unknown. So I made some photocopies and I started reading them closely. Then I talked to my colleagues. I talked to Dr. Brett Werb, the chief ethnomusicologist of the United States Holocaust Museum in Washington. And he said to me, well, you found the materials that I knew. These wow. are songs of the Holocaust that we didn't know existed.
What form were they in? Is it sheet music? Were they recordings? Is it just lyrics? What did you see?
So most of them look like scribbles of paper with handwritten Yiddish on them. Some of them are typed on a typewriter. And on that typewriter, a few letters did not type well, like letter M and letter T, for example. They're not visible at all, sometimes letter N. And these are all in Yiddish. And the idea was is those ethnomusicologists were prepared for preparing a book on the Soviet Jewish creativity during World War II. But, and the book was all ready, but in 1947, the cabinet where they worked was shut down and they were arrested later by Stalin. And all these materials were seized. And every single scholar who participated in the project believed that they destroyed all the documents.
But they didn't. And then how did they resurface and get into your hands?
So when they were arrested, the documents were arrested as well. And they ended up in the archive of the Soviet secret police of the NKVD and then later KGB. And they were there. And then after the Soviet Union collapsed, they found this was still there. And they quietly moved this chunk of documents to the manuscript department of the Kiev Ukrainian National Library, where they sat quietly for quite a while because in order to catalog them, you need to know Yiddish. And in order to catalog them well, you need to know how to read handwritten Yiddish. And that skill is becoming very rare. But they managed to catalog it, and that's how I found out about this.
And to take it the next step, to turn these lyrics into music, also becomes a challenge. Tell us what you did next and how you figured out what this might sound like.
Right. So when I was reading those songs, these are texts. Sometimes it have a melodical tune written down with it, so there are no records. It's just text. So I thought, well, this material is too good to be kept in academia alone. Academic books are rigorously researched, but they have a small audience of maybe 40 or 50 people who will read our books. And there are some notes of ethnomusicologists saying this song was sang to a popular Soviet song, but it wouldn't say which one. Mm-hmm. So then that's when I invited Psoy Korolenko, who I knew because of a lot of his projects, but he also worked on a project that dealt with singing Soviet songs in Yiddish, and also because of his in-depth knowledge of Yiddish culture and of Soviet culture of 1940s. And I said to him, well, we have these songs, they're all pro-Stalin, they're all anti-Hitler, and they're written in Yiddish in the 40s. Why don't you sing them? And then we spent a year working together when Psoy actually created the tune for each song for a very laborious process.
Well, Psoy Korolenko, tell me about that year and what it was you did when you got those manuscripts.
When Anna invited me to this project, I felt honored and lucky because this is some kind of cultural archaeology, reinventing, rebuilding these music, making these songs singable and sung, creating these melodical solutions, sometimes compiling melodies from popular Yiddish and or Soviet Russian songs of war times, pre-war times, which is like finding a distant relative, speaking metaphorically, or sometimes there are anachronistic solutions from 19th century or from more contemporary tunes or songs, which are like shidduch, like matchmaking, like finding someone who has not been relative but becomes one. And this is wonderful. It works like a miracle. For example, we have one song which was recorded during the war in Central Asia from Tybal Birman, who is originally from Kharkov. And this is, it actually were two songs, a dialogue between a wife who is writing a letter to her soldier husband who is struggling the Nazi at the war. And there is a answer letter song from Misha, the soldier, where Misha describes his battle against Germans in many brutal details, just as he asks him in her letter to cut them, whack them, be merciless. And Misha promises to do so and describes how Germans are running away like poisoned mice. Importantly enough, in German propaganda, Jews were often portrayed as rats or mice, like in the beginning of Inglourious Bastards movie, for example. And Misha, now the metaphor is back. Now Germans are mice, and Misha promises to find them everywhere. And Misha, in Russian folklore, it's a Russian name. It's Mikhail, Michael, very popular among Jews at that time. But Misha, in Russian folklore, is also a bear, which makes our Misha some kind of Soviet-style bear Jew in Glorious Bastards. So isn't that fun?
It's amazing. Maybe you can give us a sample of the music, too, and set up the song Tearing Apart Hitler's Germany to tell us a little bit about what's going to happen in the song and also give us a sample for our ears.
The music is mostly the iconic Russian soldier song, which is also a love song. It's actually about a letter from a girl who is awaiting her lover, Katyusha, the iconic Russian song Katyusha, which also gave name to a tank, right? Yeah. And slightly fused with Tumbalalaika. In this case,
which is a popular Yiddish tune, the most popular Yiddish song known to,
and the
today.
Most popular Yiddish song in Russia, I guess.
Right.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Mein Freu sei wissen, bin ich jetzt in Misrach preisen, mirn gich schon ob it's Pitzlach, Hitlers Deutschland zerreißen, mirn gich schon ob it's Pitzlach, Hitlers Deutschland zerreißen, mirn euch sei versichten. Staaten, wie uns sie oben massenweis. Deibel meine, du sollst wissen, wie sie laufen, wie die Mais. Versammte Meise laufen in die Löcher, in die Spalten, mirn ober sie obsuchen und sie sollen sich behalten. Mirn ober sie obsuchen und sie sollen sich behalten. Mirn gich schon git ois Rahmen, all das Beis, die breine Zore, wellen mir schon Hitler derschlagen, die wilde Haie in ihr Nore. Dann wird keiner scheu mit Stern, unser Glück und unser Ruh. Ob mir noch Geduld, man taie Weibel, noch a Kapelle war zu. Ob Geduld, man taie Weibel, noch a Kapelle war zu.
Singer Psoy Korlenko singing Tearing Apart Hitler's Germany, a song based on a letter written by a Jewish Red Army soldier on the front lines during World War II, and one of the Yiddish songs uncovered by historian Anna Sternschiss, who is also with me today. It's a beautiful song, and again, I think you said this was based on a very popular Yiddish tune
right.
at the time. And I guess this would be a common thing. We do this all the time. You think about it being in the front lines, and you've got a tune running through your head, and then you put your own lyrics to it. So this is a lot of what's happening at this time.
So the notes of Berigovsky said that not a single one of those songs was written to an original tune. So they all borrowed music from somewhere. And sometimes they borrowed from Soviet popular song, Russian language ones, sometimes from the popular Yiddish ones, sometimes from the Ukrainian ones. And for people who recorded those songs, these melodies were obvious because they recognized them. But to us, looking at the material 70 years later, we have to do this musical archaeology that Psoy mentioned.
And what about the subject matter? Here, again, a lot of it seems to be anti-Hitler and pro-Stalin, pro-Red Army. What other topics, other themes that come up?
So about 500,000 Soviet Jews served in the Red Army during World War II. And these songs proclaim very proudly that Jewish men fight against Nazism with weapons in their hands. And that idea of revenge, the idea of fighting and destroying the enemy who destroyed their communities is very profound in the songs. It also argues against the popular anti-Semitic myth that Jews set out the war in Soviet Central Asia. Indeed, 1.4 million Soviet Jews survived the war in Soviet Central Asia, also 250,000 Polish Jewish refugees. But, of course, they worked on the home front and 2.7 million Soviet Jews were killed in the Holocaust.
You also, the collection gave you an insight into the experience of Soviet women during the war, a fairly marginalized narrative. Tell us more about that.
So about 900,000 Soviet women served in the Red Army. We don't know how many Jews were among them, but most of our songs were written by women. And creating this project, giving music to those words, gives us a chance to give agency, to give the voice to people who are never heard when we study history. So the song that you're about to play talks about women who are drafted to serve in the Red Army. They come from Chuvashia region of the Soviet Union, the place which did not have any Jews, and the women who go to serve in the Red Army, they're not Jewish, and yet they sing about fighting against Hitler in Yiddish.
And the song is The Signs of the Stars. Let's listen.
Mich fragen die Sternen so gewärter, wer hat es marschiert spät bei Nacht? An entfernte Waschgertächter gräten sich gegen den Schlag. Seht nur, wie fest er tritt, wie's klingt unser Sieg in dem Gang. Wie hat ich sie singen, dein Lied, wie fragt ich sie sonst das Gesang? Wunken sich unter die Sternen, mir oben als uns nicht gesehen. Wo singen sie, loi mir eus Herrn, in Mut und Schlacht hereingehen.
There's a clip of a Yiddish song, The Signs of the Stars, that comments on the draft and the service of women in the Red Army during World War II, and one of the songs uncovered by historian Anna Sternschiss. I'm here with her, as well as Russian singer and poet Pesoy Korolenko, who uncovered the manuscripts and then put them to music. And I want to maybe hear another one before we go. This one is I Go Away from My Mother's Grave, and I think it illustrates some of the humor that might also be involved in these songs. Not this one. Not this one.
No, it's a very sad song. It's an orphan song, authentic. But interestingly, musically, it will be a contrast to the song I've just sang, because we have heard a song performed in full orchestra featuring Sergei Erdenko, a prominent contemporary Roma composer, arranger, and violinist from Russia, who also played violin in this song. And this song, in this case, it will be sung a cappella. It was performed by a boy, and it was recorded from a girl.
All right.
So, in Tulchin, in town which was destroyed, and it's featured in our repertoire as in one of the also very important devastation ballad. So this song is about parents. It's an orphan song performed by Isaac Rosenberg in the album Yiddish Glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I will sing, I will represent this
a cappella.
That would be great. Just to let you know, I don't think we have time for the whole song right now. We only have about a minute left in the segment, but if we can hear a sample of it, we'd love to hear
one
that
verse.
Right now. One verse.
Ich gehe weg von mein Mutters Quur und kein Mal, Mame, welch nicht kommen zu dir. Oi, Verge, Mame, wird mich aufwecken. Oi, Verge, Mame, wird mich zudecken. Von mein Mame, ob ich mehr nicht gesehen, vertrieben hat man sie von jener Zeit breg. Nor ich wird sein Sof zu die Leiden bittere, ich wird nehmen schon Zeyanek.
Pesoy Korolenko singing I Go Away from My Mother's Grave, one of the songs uncovered by historian Anna Sternschiss, also with me today. 30 seconds left. What's the significance of this archive for you?
I think this archive will change the way that historians understand the history of the Holocaust. First of all, one of the things that we found is that people wrote those songs right before they were killed, very often on the way to on the death march, very often right before they were shot. And what we know now is that the last thing they were doing is writing a song about their experience. And the last thing they were hoping was that somebody will hear that song. So our project gives them that chance. And it also honors the work of historians, our colleagues, scholars who worked 70 years earlier preserving this music for us, who were arrested because they collected this music. And they thought their fruits of labor will never be known to anyone. And we're hoping that to change that.
Thank you both for bringing it to light and to our ears. Anna Sternschiss is a historian and professor at the University of Toronto. Russian poet and musician Pesoy Korolenko, thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you for having us.
We have links to their work at our website and a video of a live performance of a concert also at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, longtime activist and community organizer Iris Morales joins us to talk about revolutions and social movements. Stay tuned.